Good morning. This is the Thursday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. The 12 Hours of Mesa Verde is an endurance cycling race that benefits youth organizations in our communities. This year's race will be held on Saturday, May 10th at the La Plata County Fairgrounds and on the trails at Phil's World just to the north. There are numerous race classes for serious cyclists, amateurs, and kids, and awards for the top five finishers. The theme for this year's 12 Hours of Mesa Verde race is outer space. Joining me here in the studio to talk about the race is Dani Gregory. She's the race director for the 12 Hours of Mesa Verde. Good morning, Dani.
Good morning.
Let's just start off and like talk about the race here. How does the race work? It's an endurance race, and there's a relay component to it. So describe how the race works.
So how the race works is the course is 16.4 miles, and they'll start on the fairgrounds, and they ride out of the fairgrounds and under the highway. There's a tunnel that very magically is under the highway right by Phil's World. And they ride over, do a lap on the course, and they come back over to the fairgrounds, and they go through our exchange area. And they'll pass off the baton to their teammate, and their teammate goes out and does their lap on the 16.4 miles. And we start at 7 a.m., and we say till 7 p.m., but there's some technical aspects to that. Like, we cut off last lap at 6 for safety issues, so someone's not out there in the dark and that kind of thing. But
so that's a lot of people racing around Phil's World all day long. There's different classes of races. Can
yes.
you talk a little bit about the different ways that people get involved?
Well, I just gave you the scenario as if there was a team, but there are people that go out there and do it solo, which means they go out there and ride a lap, come back in and exchange the baton with themselves and ride a lap and come back in. And then you've got duos, which are just the two person, and then we have the 3-4 person teams where they can have either three riders or four riders, and that can be a combination of, you know, either all male, all female, or co-ed. And then we've got a couple other classes. We have a grommet class, which is for 18 and under. We have the geezer class, which is average age 50 and over, and then there's also single speed, where they're just riding with one gear instead of
the preference of
least, you know, 11 or 21.
So these guys who, gals, that do this full day of riding, how many miles do they end up riding when they ride for 12 hours straight?
You know, I wish I would have wrote that down because we had those statistics and I forgot to bring them.
It must be a lot.
But it can. I mean, our top solo guys have done 8 laps.
Uh-huh.
And then the record for the teams is 10. That's the most we've ever had.
Wow.
Someone do. And I mean, you see lap times differing. I mean, the pros, last year we had a record and it was just under an hour 8 for the 16.4. But we'll have people that are just out there for the fun of it that'll do a lap in 2 hours and 2.5 hours.
Just to be a part of it all, huh?
Just to be a part of it all.
That's cool. Well, you've been involved with this race for a long time. It is the 12th year of the race.
It's the 12th year having a race on this weekend. Mm-hmm. For the first four years, it was just a cross-country race, meaning it wasn't the relay.
Oh.
You just had the different classes, beginner, sport, expert, and they went out and they did their lap based on what class they were in. And then in 2007, we really wanted to grow the race and see the numbers increase and see basically better fruit for our effort of the planning, and changed it to a 12-hour.
But it's always been at Phil's World for
the most part? It has. The first, actually, 2 years, we were only able to operate on the fairground side. And then after that, we were able to branch it over into Phil's World.
Yeah. And let's talk a little bit about Phil's World, because it really is becoming more and more recognized as a place where people, it's a destination now for people to come and do some mountain biking in our area. Tell me more about the way you see that evolving.
Well, you know, right now there's just under, the trail network out at Phil's is just under 30 miles. And a good portion of Phil's, I wouldn't say, is beginner. It's not a beginner trail. However, there is about 7 miles of trail built more geared more towards beginner. And then, so the nice thing about it is you can come as a group or a family and have enough trail to meet the needs of everyone that's there. Plus, with that amount of miles, it's worth staying for 2 days. You know, you might ride it all in one day and then come back and ride just, in, you know, just the rib cage, you know, the next day, which is like the star of Phil's World. But, and then we're also, I mean, we're really in the planning stages of trying to expand the trail system out there, which will just you know, increase that. It's a good benefit for both the residents in this area and also for the, you know, the tourists, the recreationists that are coming here for Phil's.
If you're just tuning in, this is the Thursday Morning Zine. I'm Tom Yoder, and my guest this morning is Dani Gregory. She's the race director for the 12 Hours of Mesa Verde race that's happening on Saturday, May 10th. You know, Phil's World is becoming more and more of an economic driver in this area. People are coming in. They're actually staying a little bit more, maybe to spend a day at Phil's World. But also the race, the 12 Hours of Mesa Verde race itself, has really become something that's bringing people into restaurants and hotels. Can you talk a little bit about what the economic impact of the race and Phil's is right now?
You know, we always talk about, you know, what came first, Phil's or the race. And obviously Phil's came first. And because, you know, everybody's like, well, why do you call it the 12 Hours of Mesa Verde? And it's like, well, when we started the race, nobody knew what Phil's World was. And so we really put efforts into creating a very grassroots race, which is professionally run, in our opinion. And so that gained the race recognition, good recognition. And the course was so fun. They loved the race and the course. And then as more people heard about the course, more people were coming to ride Phil's on their own, just when it wasn't the race. And they kind of both grew up together. And if you drive around town the weekend of the race, especially on Friday when we have packet pickup for all the racers, I mean, there's bikes everywhere. There's cars and campers with bikes, and there's people everywhere. And, you know, we've heard some of the restaurants in town have some of their biggest nights of the year that Friday night when racers come in. And what we're seeing now is, as the race has grown and as the amount of trails in this area have also increased, people aren't just coming for the two nights of the race. They're making a trip out of it. It's becoming a 5-day trip. Or they're coming for the weekend of the race and then they come back later this summer with their families and make a vacation out of it.
Now, the race itself benefits youth organizations in the community, the proceeds do. Who are the beneficiaries for this year's race?
So our beneficiaries for this year's race are the Pinion Project for their mentoring program, Four Corners Child Advocacy Center, Southwest Open School, and SCYC, which is School Community Youth Collaborative.
Very good.
And then we have a few other discretionary beneficiaries as well.
Okay. And so how does that get broken down? Do you just, do people apply and say, we need this much for these programs, and you and the board kind of decide where, you know, how much of the proceeds go where?
We make the decision on who our primary beneficiaries are, and the secondary and our tertiary, and then the discretionary. They fill out a beneficiary application. It's a pretty simple form, but the things that we look for are the number of youth served, the category that the youth are in. Like, our kind of one of the biggest drivers is at risk. Are these youth at risk? You know, we are more about preventative. Like, we really want to help these youth before they get into trouble, for lack of a better way to put it. And we look at the application. And the difficult thing is we get some really great applications, and they're, you know, our hearts just go out, and we want to just be like, okay, yeah, we'll take them all. But we really have to narrow down the decision and just try to do where we think the money will be best well spent and how they receive their other funding. A lot of these organizations' grants are based on local funding. And so they get to show what we give them as local funding, which then allows them to get more from the outside grants that they apply for.
Nice. Nice way to leverage those proceeds a little bit. You're tuned into the Thursday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. This morning I'm talking with Dani Gregory. She's the race director for the 12 Hours of Mesa Verde race that's coming up on May 10th. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Stay with us. We are back. You're listening to the Thursday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder, and my guest this morning is Dani Gregory. She's the race director for 12 Hours of Mesa Verde, the endurance cycling race that's coming up on Saturday, May 10th. One really neat thing about 12 Hours of Mesa Verde is you have a lot of kids' activities and even a kids' race. Can you describe what the kids can expect at the 12 Hours of Mesa Verde race?
We do. We have a lot of kids' activities. One of the things we've always tried is, because we benefit youth in our areas, to really make this event family-friendly. And we get people that come from Phoenix area, Denver area, Front Range, you know, Utah. And they get to come with their whole families. And there's stuff for their kids to do while mom and dad are racing. And the kids' activities start at noon. I mean, at 10. The kids' activities start at 10 and they go until 5. And there's crafts and games and just, you know, all different kinds of things. And because the race is on Mother's Day weekend, usually there's some type of Mother's Day craft. And and then the kids' race sign up is at 11, and it starts, and then the races will start at noon. And it's from the itty bitties that are on the little run bikes that don't have pedals to the bigger kids that can ride, you know, several laps on the kids' course that's right on the fairground side. They don't go over to Phil's.
Okay. You've also got some of the Montezuma Cortez High School students involved in the poster. Can you talk about how that works?
So we have an official race poster, and one of our board members contacted Deb Harriman, the art teacher at the high school, and she basically put it as a project that the kids could do for their portfolio, and they can submit their idea. And it's typically theme-based. So you mentioned that it was outer space. And so they come up with a poster or the artwork that's theme-based for our race. And we pick the winner, and it becomes the official race poster. And then we give back. Last year, we gave back $500 for art supplies for the class.
Nice. And you're still looking for people to get involved as volunteers this year. If people do want to volunteer, how do they get signed up to do that?
So they can go to our website, which is 12hoursofmesaverde.com, and it's the numeral 12, so 1-2. And there's right on the very front page is a volunteer here button, and they click on that, and they'll actually go through registration almost like what a racer would, but they can choose their shifts and when they want to work. And we need volunteers for Friday at packet pickup, but the majority of volunteers that we need are on Saturday.
And what kind of things do you want? I mean, you talked about what do you call it, packet pickup?
Mm-hmm.
Besides that, what kinds of things do the volunteers do at the race?
So at the race, we have a computer timing system. So when a racer finishes their lap, we punch in their number into the computer, and it time punches their lap form. But we also run a backup to that. We do a physical timing log. And so we have a whole row of tables where the racers will go to their designated table, and the volunteers there do an actual penciled in lap time, so that we've just got that backup in case the system were to go down, or if there's ever a question, or if a lap was missed at the computer, or vice versa.
Okay. And we were talking earlier about the beneficiaries of the race, the youth organizations. Do you have an estimate how much money goes from these races to these organizations?
Well, our board and myself are all volunteer. So 100% of the proceeds goes back to the organizations that we choose as the beneficiaries. And last year we were able to give over $43,000 back to the chosen organizations. So our best estimate over the years, you know, since this is our 12th year having a race, is it's been roughly $150,000 that's gone back to youth organizations in our community.
Wow, that's really awesome.
It is pretty awesome.
Danny, thanks so much for coming in and talking this morning. It was really a pleasure to hear more about the race.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
That's Danny Gregory. She's the race director for 12 Hours of Mesa Verde. That's coming up on Saturday, May 10th. And you've been listening to the Thursday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder.